This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, March 27th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Bipartisan effort targets cattle burps. Key sugar plant faces port closure, and NLRB sides with produce firm. Emit less. Cutting cattle emissions crosses partisan divide. A bipartisan group of senators is announcing a proposal today to expand Agriculture Department research on feed additives for reducing methane emissions from cattle. The Enteric Methane Innovation Tools for Lower Emissions and Sustainable Stock Act would expand the Agriculture Research Service capacity to analyze enteric methane products and practices. It would also expand training programs to familiarize farmers and ranchers with enteric methane reducing practices. The bill will also add practices targeting greenhouse gas emission reductions to USDA's Conservation Innovation Grants on-farm conservation innovation trials. It would push the agency to review and revise standards to help reduce enteric methane and include enteric methane reducing products and practices in the environmental quality incentives and conservation stewardship programs. Now take note. A broad range of industry and environmental groups is backing the proposal. That includes the American Feed Industry Association, the Environmental Defense Fund, Environmental Working Group, International Dairy Foods Association, McDonald's, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and the National Milk Producers Federation. The bill is sponsored by Senators Mike Bennett of Colorado, Mike Crapo of Idaho, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, and Jerry Moran of Kansas. Here's a note. It's not all greet. This week's AgriPulse newsletter looks at some of the key issues facing sustainable aviation fuel developers. We also dig into the potential impact of EPA's tailpipe emission standards on ethanol demand and survey the latest congressional earmarks in the USDA's budget. Major sugar refiner, okay for now, despite port closure. A major U.S. refiner of U.S. sugar could be affected by the closure of the Port of Baltimore, but ASR Group, which owns the Domino Sugar Refinery at Baltimore, says the plant has 6 to 8 weeks of raw sugar on hand. ASR also says in a statement that it has healthy inventories of finished sugar at warehouses across the country. More than 575,000 metric tons of imported sugar moved through the port in 2022, that according to the latest USDA data. The main channel leaving from the port into the Chesapeake Bay was cut off when a container ship rammed into and collapsed the Francis Scott Key Bridge. President Biden says the federal government should pay for the entire cost of replacing the bridge, which serves as a major bypass for East Coast truck traffic. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Located in Washington, D.C., Watkinson Miller has been providing legal services to the agriculture industry for more than 30 years. The attorneys at Watkinson Miller possess a unique combination of knowledge, skills, and experience working with commodity boards and their partner organizations and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Watkinson Miller is proud to serve the agriculture community by delivering top-quality legal services that achieve cost-effective results.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. D.C. Circuit scolds NLRB over action against produce company. The National Labor Relations Board did not have sufficient evidence to find that an Arizona produce distributor engaged in unfair labor practices because of two employees' pro-union activities, a federal appeals court found March 26. Stern Produce issued a written warning to an employee who made inappropriate comments, and a supervisor sent a text message to a delivery driver telling him he wasn't supposed to cover his inward-facing camera. The driver was eating his lunch, but the NLRB's general counsel filed a complaint saying the message, quote, created the impression of surveillance. there was insufficient evidence to support the NLRB's conclusion that the company's actions constituted unfair labor practices, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals said. Now take note, the NLRB board's majority and general counsel said, quote, "At least at the time of these proceedings, we should have brushed up on the ancient and wise legal doctrine, de minimis non curat lex. That is, the law does not concern itself with trifles, or should not," the court said. Proposed regs for meat processors please no one. The meat industry and environmental groups have submitted opposing comments on EPA's proposed discharge limits for slaughterhouses and processing plants. The industry says EPA has underestimated the impacts of its proposal, while the green groups press the agency to adopt a more stringent alternative. The Meat and Poultry Products Industry Coalition, which includes the Meat Institute, American Farm Bureau Federation, and the North American Renders Association, says the agency's preferred alternative would close 74 facilities, not the 16 estimated by EPA. In addition, the coalition says, quote, "The projected number of near-term job losses associated with these facility closures would increase from nearly 17,000 estimated in the proposed rule to nearly 80,000 direct job losses from plant closures." A coalition of 45 animal welfare, community, and environmental groups, however, calls EPA's preferred option the weakest of three presented and is, quote, "inconsistent with federal law, not least because it is motivated by a desire to avoid disruptions to the country's meat supply, even though claims of past disruptions have been resoundingly debunked." China and U.S. spar over Inflation Reduction Act. The Biden administration is criticizing a complaint filed by China with the World Trade Organization over electric vehicle funding in the Inflation Reduction Act. U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai says China, quote, "continues to use unfair, non-market policies and practices to undermine fair competition and pursue the dominance of its manufacturers and in global markets." China is contesting, quote, "discriminatory subsidies," Reuters reported, "under the disguise of responding to climate change, reducing carbon emissions, and protecting environment. These subsidies are, in fact, contingent upon the purchase and use of goods from the United States or imported from certain particular regions," the Chinese mission in Geneva said, according to the news service. Tai says in a statement that the U.S. is, quote, "building a clean energy economy powered by American innovators, workers, and manufacturers that will create good-paying union jobs and cut pollution that drives climate change and environmental injustice." Atlanta's Cox Farms, a new player in produce. Cox Enterprises, an Atlanta-based business conglomerate that started out in newspapers, is forming a new division focused on indoor production of fruits and vegetables. Cox Farms, which owns Mookie Farms and Bright Farms, will be one of the largest indoor ag operators in North America, harvesting 360 million pounds of produce a year, that according to a company press release. The company says it's future-proofing the world of produce. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, March 27th, brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Talley.